My name's Jeremy, and today I'm going to be sharing some things with you that, I don't know, part presentation, part preaching, and partly we'll have a good time learning some things. But the big goal of today, what I would love for you to accomplish, is for some of you, would connect your head intellectually to your heart and what God is doing around the world. And for some of you, I'm asking that just your heart would wake up, that your view of the world would be a view through God's heart for the world and what he's trying to accomplish. I just spent a great time in, by the way, I can control the slides now. That's what this is. Look at this. Isn't that cool? I've got one of those dangerous laser pointers. I spent a week, 10 days in Malaysia. Just got back last weekend, and I spent a week there at a world conference called Lausanne. You guys ever heard of Lausanne? It was an under 40 gathering of 500 people from 120 countries. So my roommate was from Zimbabwe. I got to hang out with people from the underground Chinese church. I got to hang out with Cubans, an Iraqi named Ronnie, a guy from Jordan, guys from Finland, to literally every nation almost was represented. Unbelievably fascinating. I mean, it was so much fun. In fact, let me show you just to give you a little perspective of what it was like. That was where I was looking every morning. So it wasn't roughing it, per se. In fact, Malaysia, it's so funny. I don't know what your perceptions are of places around the world, but it totally got changed when I was there. I mean, it was pretty much a tropical paradise, and felt like Survivor a few times. But I was out on the beach a lot, played volleyball a lot with a bunch of internationals, and my whole world changed because my worldview changed. I had some prejudice that I didn't know I had. I had some misconceptions about the world. I had some pride that was destroyed. And at the same time, I learned a whole lot about really the outside of dialect or language barriers. All these blokes had the same sense of humor I did. By the end of the week, they're just like us. They're just different because, you know, based on their funny dialect or whatever. But it was really funny. It was just humorous. I got to learn a lot about the perception of America, and I got to learn a lot about really what God's doing around the world. So, again, this is part presentation, because I want to share some things with you that might totally, hopefully, change your worldview on some things. And then I'm going to try to make that real personal as far as what that means for us. Okay, here's the world overview. First, I learned and was reminded again that God's not American. And that was a really important deal. Here's some basic points I want to bring up to you. Christianity around the world is no longer a white majority. It's not white-faced. Around the world. Unbelievable what the gospel, what the kingdom, what God is doing in advancing the kingdom around the world. Unbelievable. I met a guy named Babu from Nepal, and this guy is a Bible teacher, and he needs more Bible teachers. They're just overrun with leaders. The church is growing. The church in Algeria is on fire. The Holy Spirit is moving in a powerful way in Algeria. In Cuba, great things are going on in an evangelical church in Cuba. Point is, it's not a white majority anymore. Isn't that awesome? Like, that would be a great thing. It was like a realization that it's not the white man's religion. It's Jesus Christ. And by the way, Jesus was never white. I mean, he was, you know what I mean. Two, you might have heard this from John Piper. Missions exist where worship doesn't. Does that make sense? Missions exist where there's no worship. When there's worship, there's not the mission because the Lord's doing the work in the heart of the people. The reality is there's more worship than ever before around the world. There are six countries. We had this big presentation. There are six countries left with unreached people groups where there's Bible translation needed, whereas the word in their language that needs to be spread as mainly in parts of China, Nepal, parts of India, Bangladesh, that whole area right in there. So it was fascinating to learn and to listen. But all the speakers that were there at this conference were mainly from other countries. And I realized, you know, this wasn't an American production. It was, you know, the keynote speaker was from Sri Lanka. And that was awesome. It was like, good. It wasn't, our role is completely different in the United States. Another major point that I learned was that Christian missions are completely different today. And for Americans, this is really hard for us, especially all of our agencies that we have. The world doesn't need us like it needed us before. The world needs us in a completely different way. They don't need us, and I'm going to generalize because there's some here that are packing up and moving. I don't mean that. I'm generalizing. They don't need us to move our family, to raise support, to move over and drop our families into other countries. In general, they have believers that are moving actively. They need us to operate in a completely different way as Americans. They need us to be mentors. They need us to be disciplers. They need us to be funders. They need us to be encouragers, prayers. They need us to be operating in a different way. And it was so fascinating to learn that and to get it. Here's what I mean. The Nigerians, by 2015, are planning to send 50,000 missionaries into the Middle East. Nigeria alone. 50,000 missionaries. It's called 50,000 by 2015. So they think they have about 25,000 ready to go right now. So they're praying for the next, you know, 10 or 8 years or whatever. 50,000. Guess what? The Chinese, you guys have heard this, you know, back to Jerusalem. The Chinese underground church is sending hundreds of thousands of missionaries over the next 20 years back to Jerusalem. The Chinese underground church. I mean, unbelievable. What's going on in South Africa? Unbelievable, the reconciliation that's occurring in certain places because of the black and white history there. Australia, what's happening in other places. God is moving in powerful ways in New Zealand and through Papua New Guinea and Indonesia. Indonesia has got this fire that's brewing, and the Holy Spirit is moving because, guess what, the Muslim world, what I learned about Malaysia, it's just like here there's secular Muslims, and secular Muslims are not fanatics, and yes, there are fanatics, but the battle is raging. And I had one Iranian brother that I met, and he basically said, Islam has already imploded, and Islam is defeated. And his point was saying that it's not the Holy Spirit can speak and move in powerful ways. Had one brother I met named Daniel who did riverboat evangelism to Muslims in Nigeria. And he would just go and they just, on the river, just goes up and down the river and just talks to Muslims. And he goes after the clerics and he's brought, I think, 5 or 6 clerics or imams, what they're called, to faith in the last year and a half. Had one, my roommate, Hosea Tagara, and by the way, well, I'll get there in a minute. I have too much, my problem, I have too much information. But Hosea prayed a year and a half ago for his school that he said, God, give me 80% to come to Christ in our school. That before, he had 2 believers. A year and a half later, 80% had come to Christ in Zimbabwe. And these are not like people from the platform telling this. This was just me learning and listening and observing of what's going on. The face of missions is completely different. Let me tell you what it is moving towards. They don't need us to be the traditional missionary. They need us to be who we are in context of commerce, culture. If you're a policeman, okay, let's figure out a way. If you're a business person, the whole topic was marketplace. What do we do in the marketplace? How do we reach people in everyday living? They just need us to be ourselves and who God made us to be, but we just need to be available to go and do things in a different way. Reconciliation is happening, and the gospel is alive, and it's spreading throughout the world. Guess what? What's the fastest growing religion? Someone said Islam. So, it's been stated it's Islam because the traditional Christian church has moved, has slowed the growth. When you see those results, what it's saying, the traditional Christian church would be the Catholic Church and any Orthodox church. The fastest growing religion is actually evangelical Christianity. And OperationWorld.com gives you all that detail if you want to look at it. But in that, what it's saying is the fastest growing church can't be measured and numbered because the people aren't going into big cathedrals anymore. They're underground church. So it's speculation in some part because it's rapidly multiplying daily, much faster than any other religion in the world. The gospel is alive, and so I just wanted to give you some encouragement on that. Let me share with you a couple more thoughts here. This you can't see it, I know. It makes a statement. You can kind of see my white face, but see this is not a white face next to me. This guy's name, he's awesome. His name is Biju Thomas. And Biju, he would always joke around and he'd say, "Oh, Jeremy, oh, people call me BJ Thomas." And then he's singing, "Raindrops keep falling on my head." Like, so we're singing that in Malaysia. And just funny things happen. Like you know how Indians hold hands with other guys? And they like hold arms and stuff. And I'm telling you, it took me about 4 days to get used to that. Because he'd always come behind me, "Oh, Jeremy." And he'd grab my arm and I'm like, "Yeah, how you doing, man?" So we did a lot of that. Just cultural differences, you know? It doesn't happen that way. So, and I don't suggest we start here. But okay, so this guy, Biju. Let me tell you about Biju. And by the way, he's going to come here, I think, next April or so. Biju is in the hardest place of India called Bihar. And it's the place that was the capital, original capital of India. It has four major religions there. It's called the graveyard of missionaries. And they have all these missionaries who have died in Bihar. And he's got he created a movement called the Transformational India Movement. You know what they do? They go get water wells, and they buy sewing machines. And they go into a community, and they love on the community. And they use kindness that leads to repentance. And they bought two sewing machines, actually, for a community. And four families came to Christ over the sewing machines. And the sewing machines are $180. And he just can't get enough sewing machines. Okay, so if anyone wants to buy a sewing machine, see me later. Or water well costs $700 for a whole village. Okay, so just another story, but it's one guy who's a missionary into his own country. He was in Delhi, New Delhi, and God called him to Bihar. And everyone said, "No, don't go there." But you know, there's so much going on. The Holy Spirit's doing so much in India. But he's sending and raising up his own people in that own culture and moving across to another state within India. And this guy is doing it, and he's awesome. Couple more thoughts here. The change that's going on today. And I've read so many books on the subject of globalization, and really it kind of gets overhyped. But there's just a lot of talk about it right now. And what it really comes down to is that our world is in motion probably like never before, and it is the reality. Meaning that most people are moving to the cities, okay? So it becomes really cities that are driving commerce and future and communities and so forth. So the world is constantly moving. Urbanization is happening. Secondly, it's shrinking in that it's leveling, meaning that it's easier to know what's going on around the world today, because really it's there's global brands that are happening. The internet has connected us in a deeper way. An example of that would be, I went to Malaysia. I'm expecting it to be one way. I go over to this mall, and I went to the Petronas Towers, second largest, tallest buildings in the world. Beautiful. I mean, unbelievable. I go into this mall. It's the nicest mall I've ever been in my life. And I'm in Malaysia, and I'm sitting there, and as soon as I walk in, I see a Starbucks. And it just wasn't what I was expecting. And I go over, and I'm like, you're kidding me. And I go over, and there's a Middle Eastern man with, it looks like Saudi Arabia, sitting here drinking a Frappuccino. And what was funny about it is the drinks there, like there's only one or two hot drinks because it's so hot there that Starbucks is a cold drink place, you know. And I know we have them here too. But anyway, so then I look over, and there's a guy that looks just like me. And I looked at the guy, and he goes, g'day, mate. And he was from Australia. And I got into his world, and he's been working in Malaysia. And he works at a bank there. No big deal. Then I see a Chinese guy. Then I see a Samoan-looking person. And they're from Malaysia. And it's leveling. And, you know, we have oceans as our neighbors. We've got Canadians, right? But, you know, they're kind of like us. Mexicans, yeah, different. But we don't have all these countries that are merging with one another. We don't have, the fact is, I met more people that were married to other nationalities than I've ever met in my life. My close friend, Yusi from Finland, is married to an Indonesian woman from the island of Samoa, and he lives in Helsinki. I mean, it's just weird, the leveling that's going on across the world. And so culturally, we're starting to dumb down. Really, no longer is it, there's still tribal things, there's still family and cultural things that fit into it, but they're being weakened because of the leveling that's happening. Does that make sense? Mega shifts continue to happen. The world's connecting because of the internet. So I'm sitting there, and I was so far behind on technology, and I thought I had some pretty cool gizmos and stuff, but these guys, I mean, my buddy from Zimbabwe, he has this text messaging. I've never seen it before, and this phone that I've never seen. By the way, the phones in Malaysia are unbelievable. The technology, I'm telling you. So they're doing stuff, and I'm like, what's that? And he came up with some jargon. I did not have a clue what he was talking about. So my friend from Zimbabwe was more technologically advanced than me. I mean, that was weird. And he just had it. He had stuff going, and he was texting in Malaysia, like all day. And I was like, "How do you do?" You know, I still don't do that very well. Mega shifts are occurring, and the mega shifts are the changing role of commerce. It just means that you can do business different. So I'm in Atlanta, and I went to this Australian bakery in Atlanta, and there's 120,000 Australians living in this one part of Atlanta, which is kind of weird to me. And I go in and I eat a meat pie, and I have this ginger beer, which is a ginger ale, non-alcoholic ginger ale. It was so good. So I went on the internet and I ordered it. And so this distributor in Australia is shipping to me ginger beer, which is ginger ale, that I got from an Australian bakery. See what I'm saying? But that kind of stuff is happening over and over and over. I know that sounds weird to me, but I mean, it might sound weird, like, okay, why are you spending so much time on this? The international community is becoming interracial. It's becoming interdenominational. It's becoming intergenerational, and it's interchanging with commerce, community, and global issues at a more rapid pace than we've ever had. And if we are not careful, we can get so wrapped up in how cool that is and culturally that becomes something that we start serving as if, wow, yeah, I'm in the inside. I'm globalization. You know, I've got it down. I'm doing all the technology. And the reality is God is using that in an unbelievably powerful way to connect the church, because while our world is becoming globalized, we're dumbing down. We really are. Starbucks is becoming a moniker for something that translates throughout the world. And other brands are starting to dictate and drive. You know, I've talked to a guy in Bahrain, and his favorite television show is CMT. Okay, so country music television in Bahrain. See what I mean? I mean, like, the cable, the internet TV, it's all a part of it. And the reality is, as we lose our cultural, societal, national heritage, Jesus Christ is an option, or the world is the other option. And Jesus is starting to draw all men to himself globally, and being really, if you look at it, Jesus was the first globalizer, if that's a word. Is that a word? Jesus was the first leveler. He leveled the playing field so that all men could come back to God in a powerful way. And not only to God, but could connect to each other in an amazing way. Okay, let me show you a picture here. All right, I'm going to give you an example of this, and then I'll move on. All right, this guy right here, his name's Yusi. Yusi, uh-oh. And Yusi is a youth leader. He is the youth leader of Finland. And every year he puts on major events, and they have confirmation camps that they go through through the Lutheran Church. And he's responsible for really building up the leaders in Finland, that hundreds of thousands of teenagers have come to Christ over the last 15 years. The guy is married to an Indonesian, and he had a heart for the Solomon Islands. So he moved there for a year, and God did some neat things in the Solomon Islands, which is weird. There's that white cracker named Jeremy next to him. And then next to, right there, which is a dark face, you can't see Chris. Chris is 60 years old. He's from South Africa. And he's from Nigeria, was in a war, and God came to him in a vision in a war in 1970s and saved him. And he moved all over Africa as an ambassador of Jesus. And his focus is on leaders. And I also spent a lot of time with the issues of leadership in Africa. It's just unbelievably tough, their history. And anyway, next to him is Biju, who I told you about. And this brother right here is going to come in January. And this is my roommate, Hosea Tagara. Hosea was left, I mean, the stories are unbelievable. Hosea was left to die by his uncle. His parents had died. So his uncle, when he went to school one day, his uncle took all the possessions in their house, packed up his family, left a plate, a spoon, and a glass of water, and bread enough for 2 days for Hosea, and left him in the middle of the bush. And luckily, a nomad came along and helped him live through that period when he was 10 years old. Now, he is a traveling evangelist who actually studied to be an asset manager in an investment firm, which is awesome. And Hosea is now traveling about, and guess what? This morning, he texts me, and we emailed each other yesterday, and then he texts me this morning and just said, hey, I'm praying for you. I just got through presenting to my church what we did, and I told them all about you and how encouraging you were to me. We had an awesome time. The Lord is speaking to this man. He basically, God gave him character and asked Hosea to be an ambassador of character to the church in Africa. And so he is just full of character, and he's going through, and people are coming to Christ in powerful ways. And there's lots of stories with Hosea. The last guy is Hendrik, this guy right here. And Hendrik is he's an interesting guy. He is from Amsterdam, who now lives in Sheffield, England, married to a lady from Zimbabwe, and they minister to Indians and Asians in Sheffield. All right? So do you get that enough? Am I telling you the intercultural mixed pot that the world is becoming? More and more and more. So our obstacles are still in front of us. And, by the way, here was another example. This is me. You can't see me because the picture's not very good. By the way, I didn't have a digital camera. I was an idiot. Everyone else there, everyone else had these unbelievable digital cameras, and I had one of those CVS, like, and like the, you know what I'm talking about, the disposable? That used to be cool when they first came out. Remember that? When they first came out, we're like, wow. Well, I had these African girls that had these cool digital cameras, and they were tiny, and they came over to me, and they're like, wow, what is that? And they're picking it up, and they're thinking like I had some new technology or something, you know? I'm like, yeah, that's a disposable camera. Well, my disposable took that picture, right? Horrible. Anyway, okay. So here, I'm just making the case. This is me. That my computer is right there. You can't see it. I got these headphones on. I'm doing Skype. So if you guys are on Skype, it's unbelievable. Malaysia to the USA for 1 week, $1.75 is all I spent. That's all I spent on Skype, calling Kelly. And I'm sitting by a pool. There's the beach. And I've got free mango juice that I'm drinking. And I'm having an unbelievable experience. But all around me are guys from every country, all on Skype. And the reality was I was still behind because the rest of them all had video conferencing. And so they're like actually viewing their spouse and talking to them, and I was just doing it over the phone, you know. So just another example of our world and where it's going. Okay, here's the global issues that still are in front of us. Religious pluralism. These are issues we still have to focus on. Religious pluralism, as far as we have such a melting pot now, all the religions are getting thrown in together. So there's Hinduism, there's Islam, there's Christianity, Buddhism, Jewish faith, all that's kind of moving in. Second is war and violence, and tons of resources on this, but, you know, what does war look like? Well, it's still a part, and it always will be a part of our society. Suffering, HIV and AIDS, continues to be a major future issue. Globalization and the boundary shifts and the skewing of absolute truth. What is truth? Which really comes back to number one and is really hindered by number three and number four. What is truth? And that continues to come up. Okay, that was a look at our world. It was just fascinating. The reality is, we go back to this, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the ultimate leveler. And he has already paved the way globally. He set globalization in motion, really. Because he basically came, and when he came, he said, now we have a way to the Father. And that way can be done anywhere around the world at any time. And guess what it means? All it means is one heart at a time. One heart being completely transformed. One heart being completely transformed, affecting another heart who's completely transformed, affecting and infecting another heart, and so on and so forth, becomes a viral way of salvation that God set up. And he ultimately, God put it in motion that now, guess what? Skype is a benefit. All of us traded Skype emails or Skype addresses. So now for $1.75 for a week, I can now call or Skype Zimbabwe and Finland and so on and so forth. God has taken even the barriers and the boundaries that have been placed on us on a technology, international, culturally, and he's broken those down so that the name of Jesus can be amazingly prolific among the nations. So that the name of Jesus, and guess what we got to do? At one point in time, I got to sing Holy, Holy, Holy with 500 young believers under 40 from 120 countries. And we all had our flags. And by the end of it, everyone had dropped their flag, and we were all grabbing our hands. And our hands were connected. And we're singing this as loud as we can. And we kept going, and we kept going, and we kept going. It was the closest I'll get to heaven here on earth. to know that I get to do that with my brothers and sisters. And the name of Jesus translates across every dialect. People get him. People love him. And that's what we're connected to. So, turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5. And we're going to roll through this together. Everything's always changing. The good news is Jesus is always the same. The world through Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5, 16 and 17. Now, I want you to take this and apply this. Verse 16, 2 Corinthians 5. So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to go verse by verse for a minute. It changed my point of view to go on this trip. The reality is when Jesus gets hold of our heart, changes our point of view. He should change our point of view. I want to make one case, by the way. What I learned the most on this trip was that Jesus is about transformation. He's not about enhancement. Does that make sense? Transformation is different than enhancement. Christianity is not about adding something onto us so that we become better. Okay? It's not all the self-help books, you know, for my best life now, right? My here's one more thing I'm going to add to me so I can be the best I can be. The reality is that transformation is the call of Jesus. And Jesus says, come and die, and then you will live. That was so obvious. And verse 17 sets that up. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. If we don't focus on transformation, then we usually put Band-Aids on symptoms instead of going to the root cause. And I had a dream while I was on this trip. And on this dream, it was so painful. And it was a couple of you in here, and I've got a couple of conversations with a couple of you. It was really encouraging. But in that, this dream, I was weeping, and I was so in so much pain. And I was mad at myself, and I was disappointed in things that I kept stumbling over and working through and just all these thoughts. And I saw God, and he was taking me, and he was holding me down with one hand, and he was ripping out with the other hand this sticky inside. And he's just basically said, it's painful, but it's for your benefit, and the pain won't last long. And he pulls the old body out, and he was throwing it away. It was sanctification. It was pulling things out. Therefore, if we are in Christ, we are a new creation. That was the other thing that got to me. That Jeff, I'm going to come by here for a second. This cross here, it's above you. What I realized, what this cross meant, is death. Okay, and it hit me again that death meant I had to go and die here first before I can experience life. So when I tell you about the good news of Jesus, and if maybe if you're new to this whole Jesus thing, Jesus is not something you just put on and it becomes a smile. Jesus is something that you go all the way to the cross with him and you die there. And you suffer the death that Jesus suffered. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you take the cross out of the gospel, it's not truly the gospel. The good news of Jesus is such that we actually go to the cross with him and we actually put our hands up there and we basically have a white funeral, meaning that we give up our life completely. And when he kills us and we die to him and we live to him. And then the new life begins at that point in time. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is dead and buried. The new is resurrected and is alive. Reconciliation around the world won't happen until one heart at a time goes and dies at the cross of Jesus. that's when life begins. And I just ask that you guys would dig into that. What does that mean for me? Verse 18, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. He has committed to us the measure of reconciliation. No significantly real transformation in people, societies, nations, and so on can happen until reconciliation with God happens in people one heart at a time. I've said that 3 or 4 times now. But let me give you some example. Money towards AIDS is a band-aid, though it's very important. It's a band-aid. Reconciliation to God can change the root causes of the disease more than money for drugs to relieve the pain. Now, suffering is something that we have mercy for as believers, and we go and love people well when they're suffering. And we love them so well. And that's not a cause for us to preach against. It's a cause for us to go and help be an ambassador of transformation. I'm reading books that are like The End of Poverty by Jeffrey Sachs and Bono. Really good book and really encouraging. But the reality is, there are examples. Let me read this real quick. What examples are, we're hoping to help foster political systems that promote human well-being, foster economic systems, foster international cooperation, help promote science and technology grounded in human rationality, so that we can become, and what they're saying is, so we can become more compassionate, basically. We're trying to work economics, political systems, international cooperation, and science so that people will become more passionate in order to give. And there, while there's some good ideas and thoughts in here, the reality is Jesus is the answer to that. He's already set it up. We'll always have the poor with us. But the reality is Jesus' way of ministry was one heart at a time, a touching and affecting people. A couple more thoughts here. Violence can be thwarted in humility only through reconciliation with God. You know, Hezbollah and the Jewish tension, it's not gone away, has it? It's still there. Verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And verse 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So in verse 20, as though God were making his appeal through us, what does that appeal sound like? What is God's appeal through us to each other? Does anyone want to take a stab at that? I'm going to actually ask you to stand up and say it. What does it mean? What does an appeal sound like? We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. What is the appeal to men from God through us? What is it? Thanks. And what is the gospel? What is the good news? Be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So look at your Bibles again. Let's read that together. God, verse 21, chapter 5, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And God says this in chapter 6, and we're going to finish up. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. And thousands of years ago, hundreds of days in the future, the same reconciliation message is the same. It will always be the same. Jesus' reconciliation message is clear. He came to die for us so that we might have life, but that life only comes through the cross. And the answer to all of these global issues that I saw last week and was a part of with these guys all resonated in one, each of us being transformed, each of us being so connected to God. When we're at that level, it is so easy to communicate to each other. So I celebrated for a week. I enjoyed Jesus for a week with brothers and sisters around the world, only because each of us had already done our business with God. Each of us had already connected to God in a rich way, and that richness allowed us to communicate in a loving way, so that the Malaysians in the hotel were asking questions. Who are you guys? What are you doing? The love of Jesus was in us so much that it was spreading out among us in so wonderfully a way that it caused the Malaysian hotel workers to ask, who is this that you are here worshiping? Tell us more. And there was some awesome things that happened there. I want to encourage you to do something. Every morning in the shower or before on your way to work, I want to encourage you to preach the gospel to yourself. Can you do that? That's the one of the takeaways I want you to do. Preach the gospel to yourself before you leave to go to work. Just try it. See what happens. Preach the gospel to yourself. And you can do it out loud. If you have roommates or you're married, or they might freak them out. But just preach the gospel, and it's really fun just to see the experience that it happens inside your heart. Summary is this. Boundaries are falling. Territories are expanding in a new way. The boundaries of our culture and commerce. A second. I'll get to the summary here. Oh. That's for later. Boundaries are falling. Embrace personal holiness. And remember social justice in a new way. I did last week. I had an awakening for me of what social justice is. And it's not a cause. What it is, it's Jesus coming and serving and loving people in this world. And it's drawing all men to himself. It's time to rethink things at Bridgeway as far as our role and who we are, what we do. Become an ambassador. And then finally, I just encourage you, and this is a lot of stuff, they're just summaries, I'd be reconciled to God through Jesus. The picture that I showed you a minute ago was, I'll show you here in more detail. This picture reminds me of sometimes we think when we come to God, we don't get what we want. And I'll show you what that looks like. This is my son and daughter eating vegetables. And you can see the tears that are there. The reality is they had barely touched it. I mean, they hadn't even eaten it. But because they saw it, they just knew they didn't like it, right? The reality is when we come to the Lord, when we come to God, he's giving us good things. He wants so many good things. And the things that we think are not good for us or boring, he really is wanting to transform that. So I couldn't help that. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to be finished. If there's anything you want to say to each other, fellowship, we're out just a tad early. Lord Jesus, we love you. Come and transform us, Lord. Change the way that we view the world. God, thank you for what you're doing around the world. I bless, God, we bless the Chinese church today. We bless in Australia and Papua New Guinea. We bless Hosea in Zimbabwe. We bless Finland and what you're doing there. We just thank you, God. Forgive us of our arrogance, Lord. We're not in control of the strategy of the gospel, Americans. We're just part of it, God. Just draw us and help us to fall to our knees. Help us to see what our role is to be. And then individually, God, I pray for reconciliation with you today. I pray in all of your love and mercy and ask for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, be blessed. Enjoy the rest of the week.